Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Hello, hello. And
that was very Mr. Tumble, that hello, hello, lovely to see you. It's like he's in the room, isn't it?
It's scaring me, Ellie. Okay, so, and again, we are not alone. We have the fabulous Kent Valentine.
Woo, hello, Kent.
Hello, everybody.
Ooh, that was a bit of a yodel.
Well, I'm wearing lederhosen, so.
Oh, you're Austrian. I thought it said Australian.
No. There's no R. Oh, hang on. I've got my letters wrong. Oh, easy.
So, Kent Valentine, you are a father of three, an award-winning comedian, a gamer, and Australian. Welcome.
Australian? What's Australian? Oh, right. Yeah.
Very nice. Welcome to the podcast, Kent.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So far.
Yeah, 30 seconds in. It's going really well.
So nice.
Says the person hosting the podcast.
Yeah. Now, the reason we've got you on the podcast, because A, you're hilarious and available, is that we found that you are the shaded area of the Helen and Ellie Venn diagram.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't even know we had a Venn diagram, but apparently
we do
now. This is what goes on in this woman's head.
Right, maths this out for us then.
Right. So you're into gaming. Mm-hmm. You've done podcasting. You're a comedian. Ellie's husband was born on St. Valentine's Day.
Mm.
Ellie went to high school in Kent. You're Australian. That just covers all the bases, really.
Bang.
So to kick us off, Kent, tell us about your family.
They are all alive. That's my key performance indicator. People always say, how the family, you know, expect you to go into some kind of diatribe about, you know, they're up to this and they're interested in this and this is where they're at, their kind of developmental milestones. And my marker of success is always, they're all alive.
Yeah. And you have a rough idea of where most of them are some of the time.
I could locate them on a globe.
So how old are they? Can you, do you even know?
Yeah. No. I'm well aware of that. My children are four... three next week and one.
What is it like, in a nutshell, to have three children under five?
Imagine just the nutshell was full of shit.
So what keeps you sane with all these many children running around your house? How do you do it?
I get up really early, and I have Kent's what Flo calls daddy's special thinking time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it, do you have a
Daddy's thinking. Daddy's got a magic wand out.
Daddy's locked himself in the bathroom with the iPad again, Mummy.
Yeah.
He's thinking about it.
There's no lock in the bathroom door. I get up before the kids and meditate, and that's the thing that stops me from strangling the children.
What kind of meditation do you do?
You know, in the kind of world of meditation, it's probably like the most Mickey Mouse kind of meditation. It's like with Headspace.
And, I've done that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I found it like, I don't know, like 2 years ago. It's amazing. It's the thing that has kept my children alive. But I mean, it's amazing because I find if I wake up and I've, you know, just try to hammer into the day, kids really scupper that because they just, you know, they demand you.
Oh, they need things.
They just want shit all the time.
They want food and like clothing.
Think of important things.
Oh, I'm trying to work on my jokes about the Great British Bake Off and you want a sandwich. Oh.
You want my time and attention. And that's the thing. I mean, because I can make a sandwich and think about something else. It's when they want attention, and that's which is all the time because they're humans, and that's why humans want love and attention. And I think that's the hardest thing to kind of give away because it's, I mean, you know, because I can't multitask. Because I don't think humans can. Not because I think it's a
See, that was your first mistake, having human children. That yeah, was I know. Hysteria. Should yeah, have just had hobbits or something.
Just should have squeezed out a couple of ducks.
Yeah. Three pugs. That's all you needed.
I could, no, not pugs. It would have to be something that breathes quietly.
I love a pug.
Do you know how hard it is to either meditate or mate to that noise? That.
I'm willing to try.
Yeah.
I'm sure that some people are into it. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know what Headspace is, it's sort of like, well, I have the app. Do you have the app?
Yeah.
Like, it's like an app and it's like 10 minutes a day, isn't it, with this of this very soothing man called Andy, who's Andy sounds just like nothing would faze. Like you could stab Andy in the face with a kitchen knife and he'd go, okay, I'm going to sit down now. Yeah. Like he's totally just awesome.
Take a few deep breaths.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? See, I'm a meditating novice. I've never done it before. And obviously I'm sitting next to two meditators.
Very calm people. You can hear how zen-like and wise and
never,
relaxed we
ever
are.
Never meditated. So what do you actually do? So you just sit in a room.
Well, with the Headspace app, it's this guy, Andy, talking. So he's just like...
It's a guided meditation.
Okay.
So there'll be periods of silence, but then inevitably your brain starts going, oh, I must remember to buy more fish fingers, and oh, I wonder what time the X Factor's on. And then Andy will just come back in once and he'll say, oh, stop thinking about the X Factor, or words to that effect.
Yeah. Wow. You know?
It's really good.
And it's really good. And that's mindfulness meditation, which I've been doing for a few years, but I've just started doing... transcendental meditation. Rhyming slang.
She's transcendental.
I've transcended, mate.
Because I've been doing like Headspace for like 2.5 years. Yeah. So I don't think I even want to go anywhere else. So tell me, give me the teaser. Give me the Michael Bay does transcendental meditation.
Well, funnily enough, that's it. Do you want to feel calm all the time? Too late, you shouldn't have had children. But this is... So quite a lot of famous people who, like, I respect have done it.
Yeah.
So, like...
opposed to when you have respect famous people and then find out they're Scientologists?
Exactly. So if you look at Scientologists, right, it's people like John Travolta and Tom Cruise, and you're like, okay.
And then Beck.
Exactly.
No. I love him!
People who... at TM, as it's called. So Jerry Seinfeld, Ellen.
Yeah.
And David Lynch, who, you know, everyone likes Twin Peaks. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And Russell Brand, who I really like, but I know Helen wants to kill him.
Have a bath and shut up!
And there's this amazing sort of transcript of this conversation with Jerry Seinfeld selling TM to Alec Baldwin. That is just really, really funny.
I have to look that up.
Google it. It's just really funny, and it made me think, oh, actually, you know, maybe this isn't like total wacky hippie nonsense. Maybe this actually is a good.
It's been endorsed by a celebrity. It must be good.
Yeah. Well, a celebrity who is a massively multi-million-dollar successful comedian,
as opposed to Tom Cruise, who's a multi. What's TM about? Tell us, what's the goal of TM?
Russell Brand says it's like having a shower for your mind.
Mm. I've only had one on the outside.
You have to do 40 minutes a day. You do 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening.
Yeah.
You have a mantra and you repeat the mantra for 20 minutes and you sort of, you transcend, don't in it? You just transcend.
What's transcending, really? Though? Is that like just...
All I think about is like the scene from A Country Practice where Shirley used to sit in a pyramid and go...
She used to sit in the pyramid, didn't she?
I remember that. And Frank would go, Shirley!
Yeah. Where's Fatso gone?
Oh, no, you don't say the mantra out loud. You just say it in your head. Which is one thing I was very glad about because I'm not sure I could take myself seriously at all
What happens if your teacher hates you and gives you a... get mantra. Do you have to? Because you can't come up with your own mantra, right? You've got to take their mantra.
You've got to take it, yeah.
Take it?
Yeah.
Take it?
Mine is actually Scherzinger. No, it's not. So what do you think, Helen? Are you going to give it a go?
I might, and I'll get back to you on it. I've just taken up smoking instead, and that gives me 5 minutes to myself.
yeah, 20 times a day.
So have you found that doing meditation has helped with your comedy, Kent? Are you doing it now? Is that your mantra?
I'm funny.
No, I haven't found that because I think meditation is one of the things that I use to help wean me off comedy without going... Comedy for me is like a safety valve. And so when we started having a lot of kids and I wasn't able to do stand-up all the time, meditation kind of kicked in and it became my safety valve, right? So it's my way that I can stop murdering my entire family for not being able to do comedy. and it's not, you know, I don't want to say that it's it's my family's fault that I can't do comedy. It's not at all. It's my choice.
It's your choice too,
not do comedy. But comedy is definitely one of the things I've found has kept me sane. And, you know, you need those things to keep you sane.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what made you get into comedy? I think you've already stated that you're a bit nuts.
No.
If I do comedy, I will explode.
No, well, that's, you know, I think that's just... I think everyone develops mechanisms for coping with the world, how the world is, and, you know, dealing with the injustice in the world and the fact that you can't change everything and you can't make everything perfect and you're not... F***ing Channing Tatum or Tatum Channing or whatever the f*** way you say his name is younger and much more successful than you will ever be and got to be in a movie with Johnny Depp and you didn't get to be, right? So everyone has these mechanisms for coping with how the world is and how it did.
Yeah, how is that meditation going? It's
hey, I'm fine.
I'm just going to be quiet for 20 minutes. Just edit this up.
So you two did a comedy show together in Australia, didn't you?
Yeah, we did in 2005.
We were put together like a boy band with girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like
you were in One Direction.
We were basically Steps. So so Kent and I were in a show called The Comedy Zone, which was the creme de la creme of up-and-coming, newcoming comedians.
According to us.
So we did, 23 shows in a row, was it?
Yeah, 22. We did the entire comedy festival.
So, see, I've only known Helen for less than 2 years. You knew the Helen Thorne before children.
Yeah.
See.
Oh, yeah.
What was she like?
Exactly the same. Wine, fags, talking about farting. Exactly the same. Helen is one of the most consistent people.
So this is very nice for me because I did a comedy show with Kent in 2005 and now doing comedy with Ellie.
Yeah.
So
you're on.
Welcome.
So Helen, who's funnier, me or Kent?
For the sake of your relationship, just say Ellie.
Ellie.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I can't do as many vagina jokes with Kent.
Bullshit anymore.
I find that hard to believe.
I am so up. Do you know, the older I get, I think, the more pure my humour is getting.
Because that's what I was going to ask you, because, like, when we did comedy, you did a great... I remember you doing a joke about having an app on your phone, a blue, remember?
There was this phone that got released, which was marketed exclusively to women, which had a normal calendar where you could put in your events and what you were doing, and it also had a blue calendar. And the only function with the blue calendar was to tell you when you got your period, like just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case you couldn't figure that one out for yourself.
Yeah.
There was an American TV show, Last Comic Standing, and they did auditions in Australia, and there were three comics from the States who were the judges on the show who were watching everyone. And it was kind of, you know, like you would have with X Factor or Britain's Got Talent, right? So that was all being recorded and they would give you their comments afterwards. You know, I did this joke about the blue calendar and on its own, it just didn't stand up. Because the woman said, "You just spent 3 minutes of my life telling me a period joke." And all I can say is, yeah, but it was a fucking good period joke. And I realised I was a man in my 20s telling a woman about her period. I was like, what an asshole. Oh. I'm so lucky I'm not on TV.
Yeah.
Should we have some more dad chat, Helen?
Oh, why not?
I believe you've got a current affair for us, haven't you?
Current affairs. So, recently, in the Evening Standard newspaper, that salubrious broadsheet in London, there was an article saying about the London dad tribes, and it said, "Daddy dearest, which one of the London's new fatherhood tribes do you belong to?"
Yeah.
Oh, can I have a look?
Yeah, you can have a look.
Let's see. So who have we got here? The capital's new. Stay-at-home James. By the single white vertical stripe on the back of his cashmere pullover from the Coupal, shall ye know him? Because Steve Hill is who's a regular podcast guest, is a stay-at-home dad, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't own anything from the Kooples.
He's not a Kooples man, Steve.
No, he is not.
Mr. Hipster.
Yeah.
Home-knitted beanie. Do you own one of those?
No. I do have a beard.
You've got a beard, yeah. It says here, the sort of spade-like beard that looks disconcerting on someone in their mid-30s. I think that's a bit harsh. Did you carry your child round in a papoose?
A yes.
Yeah, it is a papoose. Yeah, baby Bjorn's a papoose, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. That's the worst word in the world, papoose. Who came up with that word?
It's almost as good as ointment.
I like ointment.
Ointment's a good word.
So what dad tribes have you noticed, Helen, round our way?
Look, I think because the South East is becoming a hipper place. So you see many a dad with a stripy jumper and a beard pushing a bugaboo. So I think there's that, like, they're almost the hipster, the wannabe dads.
Bugaboos can get f***ed, by the way.
Beg your pardon.
Bugaboos.
She's got one.
I've just sold it.
Oh, you sold it.
That's the other way. Yeah, of course.
And then there's the head in hands dads who just actually can't get over the change of life. Whose necks have got shorter.
No meditation.
No. Well, there you go. Look, no meditation. Kent, you're on to a winner. Why don't you create your own app? You know, like Kent's.
G'day, guys. It's Kent here. Just going to talk you through how to get through the day without murdering your kids. All right. Now, just chill out. Make sure you're up an hour before them. You've gone, you've done a poo, and just relax. Just relax.
And there's your $1 million app.
That's it.
Okay, so the next section is called Dad's Jokes. Dad's Jokes.
I wish that we had video so everyone could see your jazz hands. That was amazing.
Great jazz hands.
Okay, really I do love a jazz hand. So, Dad's Jokes. Now, because you're a comedian and a dad, because I like stating the f***ing obvious all the time, you should be a master at the dad joke now, Kent. Do you have dad's jokes in your arsenal, so to speak?
I tend not to bust out dad jokes around my kids because they don't appreciate them. They don't know them but... My favourite, and I inherited this from my dad, and it's not
Mr. Valentine Senior.
Yeah, Greg the Hammer Valentine. he would just do that old favourite where he's just like, oh, I'm thirsty. I'm Dad, pleased to meet you.
Oh, nice.
And that is my, I just roll that out like nobody's business.
Is your dad a big joke dad?
Well, yeah, like my dad's a vicar, so.
So, the joke's on him.
He's one big joke. But no, he liked a little ditty or like he goes, he used to sing, like doing these little, like two index fingers doing a little twisty dancing. He used to go.
I mean, that looks like Agadoo.
Yeah,
it looks like you're about to do Agadoo.
He used to go, Toreadoro, don't spit on the floor. Use a spittoon. That's what it's for. He used to think he was a comedy
brilliant. Did you have a spittoon?
No! Dad liked a ditty and a what's it called? Not a haiku. When it's...
Limerick. A limerick.
Limerick!
The Irish and the Japanese hating each other. I'd so love it if the Japanese came up with limericks and the Irish came up with haikus. I mean, that would change culturally those two countries for the better, I think.
I think so. Yeah, my dad loves a random ditty, but often they're just songs that he's sort of half heard and half just made up and they're totally, like, weird. Like, one of his greatest hits was... I see a little girl that is sitting in a treetop, a pretty little girl that is sitting in a treetop. And that's the whole song. And it's just that repeated on loop for hours. And nobody knows where it's come from. He has another one that's popular during my childhood was Get the Fire Brigade, which goes, get the fire brigade, get the fire brigade, get the fire brigade. And it's just that on a loop, on a loop. So imagine that song on a loop on a 3-week holiday, camping holiday in France. It would drive you up the wall. After about 2 weeks, my mother and I got so sick of it that we actually hatched a plan. And we were sitting outside the tent one day and sure enough, inevitably, he started singing, get the fire brigade, get the fire brigade. And my mother and I were ready armed with three pints of water, which we just threw all over him. And he never sang it again.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It was a great relief.
You just killed a man's dreams.
Yeah, the fire brigade.
My dad's other party trick is putting a whole hard-boiled egg in his mouth and then pretending to like be a chicken and coughing it out like his mouth is a chicken's bum.
Oh, nice.
When you're 8 years old, that's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Well, yeah. Ellie's dad did stand-up in the 80s, and one of his tricks was, I think, wearing a pair of tights and holding a coin up his bum
10p,
and then letting it go. And
he would drop it into a pint glass. Yeah.
Right, and...
what a different world, but what a better world.
I know.
I mean, when Thatcher's in charge, that's what you get. That's what people had to do.
That was their meditation.
I know.
Now, progress. I did actually text my dad just before we started the podcast saying, we're doing a bit about dad jokes on the podcast. Can you text me a joke?
Mm.
And he hasn't texted me a joke, but he has left me a voicemail.
Which is
always a treat. Shall we listen to it? It could be anything.
New messages.
Now, a son went to his father and he said, Dad, I want to marry Miss Green. And his father said, well, you can't. She's your half-sister. So 6 months later, he said, Dad, I want to marry Miss Brown. And he said, listen, son, when I was a young lad, I got around a bit. I had a bike. And, you can't marry Miss Brown. She's your half-sister. So he went to his mother. He said, I wanted to marry Miss Green. And my dad says, I can't, but she's my half-sister. I won't marry Miss Brown. I can't. So his mother said, listen, son, you marry who you like. He's not your father anyway.
This message was left today. Wow.
Jim Barclay.
That's a dad joke. That's sort of live. That's a voicemail. So that's it.
I don't have a dad joke, but I have the joke on my dad. There is one joke that is on my dad, and this is because my dad used to tell a story about him and his friend were at the school dance, and my mum and her friend were at the same school dance.
Yep.
My dad and his friend both wanted to dance with my mum's hot friend.
Mm-hmm.
So they flipped a coin. Dad lost. Ended up marrying my mum. Like, so that's the story.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But what I also found out, after I'm born, dad somehow comes out with a story about how him and mum met, and mum comes back with, yeah, well, you know who Kent's named after? Someone I fancied at university. Take that!
Yes. One point to Kent's mum. Mrs. Valentine wins on the names.
Well, if you're listening and you're a dad and you've got a dad joke, send them in. We could have like a dad's joke section, couldn't we?
We could.
Shitty dad song. I mean, let's face it, most of them aren't actually jokes. They're shitty dad songs.
Yeah.
Like the first time that Cass thought he needed to do a fart but accidentally sharted. You know, we all sang, from a fart and you're to blame. You give poo a bad name.
God, that's just reminded me. I've just remembered the drying my balls song.
What?
Which is a song that my own husband has been passed down now from father to son.
I don't have a drying my balls song.
Oh, you need it. You need it. Sounds like it. Right, get out of the shower all naked, right? Get your towel and you sort of waft it against your balls while you sing, drying my balls, keep them dry, keep them dry. This is how I'm drying my balls. And yeah,
that sounds like a George Thorogood B-side.
Oh, it's brilliant! It's brilliant. Charlie loved it, and then Charlie started doing it. So you can have
drama
that.
Balls, yeah, drama
yeah.
balls.
Yeah. So yeah, if anyone else has, if you're listening, and you have any dad jokes or any songs about drying your balls,
I might be having a nervous breakdown.
Do send them in.
Amazing. So gonna be there, me and just Casp.
Drama balls, drama balls.
People are gonna say, "What are you doing today?" We can't meet up till 10:30. Me and Casp are drying our balls, drying our balls.
All right.
So we've cracked that nut.
We've cracked those nuts. Brilliant.
All right. So, listeners out there, we've been listening to you in reverse, and we've had lots of requests for. Handbag surprise.
You can join in if you like.
Handbag surprise.
It's harmonising. That's nice. It's like five star.
Cool.
It is. So we've had huge popular demand.
One person
on our Facebook page has requested handbag surprise, which is the game where one of us has to dip into the other person's handbag to find something disgusting.
Wow. Yeah.
Would you like to be that person?
To be dipped into?
Have you brought a man bag, Kink? Can we have a go at your man bag?
Yeah, but there's nothing in it. There's one thing in it.
All right.
Please go for broke.
All right, I'm going in Kent's man bag to kick us off. Oh, an empty packet of frogs, jelly frogs. That's very nice. Do you eat those all yourself?
Kids sports day.
Oh, lovely book here. Oh, that looks important. Haruki Murakami. That looks like a real grown-ups book. Here we go.
Oh, I want to eat them now.
Percy Pig.
Aren't you fortunate?
Oh, it's
good. It's like Christmas.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's not. But that's all right, Ken. That's treasure. That's not my scummy.
God.
That
yeah.
is. So oh, you can
been,
I have one?
Have yeah. You, have your kids been eating Percy Pig
today?
Oh my God, I'm going to have one.
Because they're Jewish. This is my subversive parenting.
But there's a thing called Reversey Percy, where the jelly is the pig and the...
What?
The opaquey is the ears.
What? That's lunacy. That'll never catch on.
Mm.
What do they think they're
saying?
Brilliant. Well, thank you. Now, Kent, whose bag would you like to have a dip in? Mine or Helen's? We'll let you choose.
Can I do one hand in each?
Yeah, of course you can. Go on, yeah, go see how you go.
All right. Oh, I've even... A duck... that I know and from my own bath.
Oh, you've got the same
one? I've got the same duck.
Oh, it's a rubber duck.
So it's a rubber duck.
It's not an actual duck.
It's not an actual duck.
That would be a bit weird.
And what seem to be some anal beads coming out of Helen's
bag.
If they are.
Look. So
don't call it that. It's a massive disservice.
I like a bright bead.
I was hoping you'd pick this out, Kent. This is a fake cigarette.
Wow.
Which we actually used. I use it for a character in our stage show. But I sort of always forget it's in my handbag, and then I'll be in the health visitor's office rummaging around for my red book. And just
Kent has just pulled out of my bag a...
Oh, it looks like a mandarin skin.
Yeah.
Like a clementine.
A clementine
mandarin.
Skin. Yeah, we say mandarin in...
We also say clementine.
I think there's two of them.
As in Valentine.
Are you any...
Whatever. I mean, you've got a whole bunch. Clementines, mandarins, satsumas. We just call them all mandarins. I mean, that's how far Australia's racism goes.
Pete, my husband, calls them boringes, which is short for baby oranges. Because he got too fed up with me going, it's a tangerine.
What's this? Oh,
some writing icing.
Yes!
Candy. In case you're just out of the shops and you think, I could do a cake right now.
Fully decorated
See,
cake.
See, look, my handbag's really cool.
It is. There's lots of useful things in here.
Yeah, please.
I was really hoping for some
Westpac
money.
Westpac bank card. High five. Westpac bank. Now,
I haven't closed it down in 8 years. Oh my God. Yeah, so obviously Kent and I bank with Australian banks. And you ring them up and they go, oh, hello, how you going? And you're like, I'm ringing from England. And they go, oh, that's great. How's England? And you talk for 25 minutes and you go...
And it's 4 a.m. for them. And they are still chipper.
I know. That's the thing. I love it. It's like, oh, hello. And they're like, oh, it's England. And you've got Wimbledon on at the moment. Yeah, tennis is great.
I know someone who went to England once. Ah, oh, he's now terrible.
And that's what Australians do.
Yeah.
Talk shit.
Well, I think we're learning that. Oh, wonderful. Come on then, Ken. You can be the judge of this round of handbag surprise. Who's got the scummiest handbag?
Oh, that has got to be Helen.
There's
some, like, three-week-old fruit shop.
Lovely.
Oh, wonderful. Well, yeah, I enjoyed that. Maybe we should bring handbag surprise back again. Well, we have almost come to the end of the episode, but, of course, it's time now for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Ooh.
Hooray.
Yes. Okay, so Scummy Mummy Confessions. This is a listener, but she says she wants to be anonymous. She was at a park the other day and she could see her son in the distance. And then all of a sudden she saw an altercation between her younger son and an older lady. The older lady came and stood next to the mum and started talking to her friends and said, "I can't believe that young boy. He called me a f***ing stupid woman." And listened to this and then had to step in and say, "I'm really sorry, but that was my son."
Oh, that's a shame. Yuck. That's awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
That is awkward.
Oopsie daisy.
Oh, yikes. Oh.
Wow.
So, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
It's Scummy Mummy Confessions.
But my Scummy Mummy confession is that I don't know why or where he's got it from, whatever, but Charlie has started using the word pissing. Like, and he doesn't really even understand how to use it in a grammatically correct sense. So I was in round at Steve Hill's house the other day and the kids, George and Charlie, were playing with the water pistols. And Charlie started going, "Look, look, the water is pissing out my water pistol." And I was like, What? And then I remember that, yeah, a few weeks ago, you know, we were playing and sometimes, like, sometimes when Charlie wants to do something naughty, he says, "Go out the room," as if, like, I will never see through this subtle subterfuge. But he started saying, "Mummy, piss out my room. Piss out my room." What did you say? And I don't want to, like the sort of, you know,
yeah, the intention, the, or
the pedant in me wants to grammatically correct him and say, "Actually, it's piss off out of my room." Yeah. But, like, the mummy in me is like, "Oh my god, like, we don't say that in front of you. Where have you got that from?" Like, so yeah, I'm not feeling particularly proud of myself in terms of
language skills
this week.
This is what I've discovered in the last 24 hours, because Kent had posted something on his Twitter about grammar, and I went, "What is it with me doing comedy shows with people who are pedants about grammar and meditators and into fitness?
It's another Venn diagram."
I don't know what it is.
That's
why am I drawn to
it's
people?
It's because it's yin and yang.
Yeah. Kent, have you got a scummy mummy or a scabby daddy, as we like to call it?
Scabby daddy.
I mean, with three children,
surely your daily routine is scabby daddy.
I take out the bins.
Yeah.
Every night.
Mm-hmm.
And with the bins, I take out a toy. Every night.
A McDonald's Happy Meal toy, or like any toy?
Like a PlayStation.
Don't care. We have a rule in our house. Actually, it's a rule that rarely gets enforced in front of the kids. It's called, if it's on the floor, it's in the bin.
Wow.
So to stop them from leaving on the floor. Because I come out, obviously, in the morning very early or late at night. And, you know, stepping on stuff in bare feet is just fucking terrifying.
It's not
going to
help
right?
your meditation, is
no,
it?
No, it's
Lego
Christ,
between
I've got
the toes.
Some Playmobil in my soul. And so we had this rule that was called, you know, on the floor, it's in the bin, which doesn't get enforced in front of the kids, but behind their back, it gets enforced religiously.
Let's just get that dustpan and broom.
But actually, if we've got a birthday coming up for Cass, and so if we're going to be introducing something into the toy ecosystem that is of particular size, we might try and find a thing or combinations of things that are equivalent size and file them under B1N. So I will stealth in at night time, give them a kiss, and then I'll take something that they love and I'll throw it away.
My God, oh,
Valentine!
Yeah.
But if you do this every night, aren't they just going to wake up one day and they're just in a bare cell? They don't even have a pillow.
My little pony.
My kids are shit magnets. They will bring home, we went to Monkey Nuts for dinner and we got this small plastic monkey and it's my favourite thing in the whole wide world. I'll put it on my shelf. You will tonight.
Dr. Death is coming.
Yeah.
So the toy catcher. I like to consider myself just the inevitability of the universe.
Yeah.
Just the existential terror creeping in their mind that sweeps up after everything.
Impermanence is everything. That's lovely. That's a lovely thing for a child to grow up
with. It's about embracing change. It comes from the meditation.
Yeah.
Nothing stays the same except that things will change.
Yeah.
So, Helen, have you got a scummy mummy confession?
Oh, funny you should ask, Ellie. It's called the 8-pound shit.
Right.
So I had my daughter had sports day yesterday and we were walking home and then all of a sudden she started doing this kind of what would we describe as sort of like a bit of a goose step. And then she just all of a sudden just said, "Mummy, mummy, 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 I need to poo." And thankfully, we were but 1 minute walk from a French cafe.
Oh.
However.
You don't goose step into a French cafe.
I know.
You really To take
the 5-year-old we needed to buy 2 cupcakes, 2 juices, and a can of Coke for my good self.
Which in East Dulwich will cost you about £48.
Yeah. So Matilda did her poo on cue. And I was £8 poorer.
Oh, man.
So you're welcome, East Dulwich French Cafe.
Keeping the economy cranking, Matilda's large intestine.
That was a really expensive
I'm impressed you bought so much. I'd have bought a Capri Sun and been like, that's it, I'm out of here. That would have paid my dues, you know.
And I'll be drinking the Capri Sun. So
you're welcome, East Dulwich. That was our £8 dump.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's like the £1 million drop. Anyway.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you very much, Kent, for being a wonderful guest on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you could come and see us live, couldn't they, Helen?
They could. It is an established
comedy.
Hang
on a second. Wait a minute. Some people can't get to the southeast of England, so couldn't they also rate the shit out of you on iTunes?
Couldn't they just?
Yeah, you can come back. That's right. If you'd like to leave us a review on iTunes for the podcast, that would be lovely. Or if you like the podcast, please just tell your friends. Put it on your Facebook or, you know, even talk to them live.
That's right.
Okay, goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye. So you are a stand-up comedian. Shut up, Ellie. should I frame that better?
I've just noticed that you always, like, when you start a question, you always, like, either say what's just happened or a fact that everyone already knows.
So you breathe mainly nitrogen.
Yes.
How do you find that?
You have a penis.
How do you find...
Also testicles.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you confirm that?
All right.
It's been alleged.
I don't know how to start this.
You allegedly have balls.
Yeah. So, Kent, when did you start comedy? Are you right with that, Ellie?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.